Tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in or dialing in or finding the place on your internet thing or Sirius or XM or however you do it. Welcome to tonight's program. Did you watch Obama's speech today on the economy? I listened to a lot of it on Sirius in the car while I went in to pick up Molly. And, it was a good speech. It was a very good speech. Prairie 2, our economics advisor, has something to say about it, and we will get to that momentarily. He calls it tonight a better grade of sand. Yeah, President Obama quoted from the Sermon on the Mount today, which I thought was a pretty interesting touch towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, for that matter. And speaking of that, somebody sent me under the subject line, a sudden moment of clarity. And the question is, what is Christianity? And then there's an answer. What is Christianity? Answer. It is the belief that a 2,000-year-old Jewish zombie can make you live forever if you symbolically eat his flesh and telepathically tell him that you accept him as your master so he can remove an evil force from your soul that is present there in humanity because a rib woman was convinced by a talking snake to eat an apple off a magical tree in a wonderland. Well, you know, that sounds very cynical and nasty and like, oh, my God, he's going to start beating up on Christians again. I've just about had it with that, Malloy. I didn't write this, but I'll tell you what, isn't that the truth? That's exactly what it is. When you strip away the pageantry and the superstition and the verbiage, that's what you're left with, a 2,000-year-old Jewish zombie who can make you live forever if you... That was one thing. When I was a kid growing up, a lot of the kids in our neighborhood were Catholic, and they would go to communion. I went to communion in the Methodist church, or in the Baptist church, too. But it was always symbolic. But my Catholic friends said, no, you're actually eating the body of Christ and drinking his blood. It's like, what? And, you know, one time I snuck in. I was a kid, so you can, you know, don't send me an email and tell me I committed a mortal sin. But my friends took me in, and I had communion. It was a test. They were curious about, you know, the Protestant communion. Of course, in the Protestant church, anybody can come in and have communion. It doesn't make any difference. In the Catholic church, you have to be a confirmed Catholic or a blessed Catholic or a sacramentized Catholic or something. But they wanted to know, you know, Malloy, what's the difference? Does it taste like blood? No, it tastes like the same Welch's grape juice that we use. Our wafer's a little tastier than yours. Yours tastes a little bit like chalk, but other than that, about the same. Cynthia in San Jose, California, sent me what she calls a meme worth spreading around. She says, Mike, I don't know if I invented this phrase or not. I haven't heard it anywhere else that I can think of, but either way, I think it is worth spreading around. Maybe it will make stupid and poor Republicans think. Here it is, and it is a simple thing, really. Here's the meme. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. Say it frequent and often. Maybe it would do some good. Thanks, Cynthia, San Jose. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. Yeah, that would be nice at this little tax masturbatory fantasy thing world that's going to go on tomorrow all over the country, right? Sponsored, brought to you by your friends at Fox News. and rich people and Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey, who continue to stick it into poor, brain-dead working-class conservatives and break it off at the hilt. You people just shock me. But anyway, there's the meme. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. I pay taxes so the rich don't have to. Somebody ought to put that on a sign and take it to one of these teabagging demonstrations tomorrow. Speaking of which, George writes, Mike, my wife and I were listening to your program last night when you mentioned teabagging and how funny it was that the so-called spontaneous Republican demonstrators called themselves teabaggers without knowing what the term meant. My wife asked what teabagging was, and after I explained the practice to her, she said, quote, I wonder when Rush goes to the Dominican Republic, is he the teabag or the teapot? I almost fell out of my chair laughing. I thought you might get a laugh out of it, too. George, we'll be listening. P.S., we'll be listening as usual tonight on KPOJ. Yeah, I did get a laugh out of it, George. I don't know. Limbaugh, I don't know. I don't want to think about anything that has to do with any kind of sex or physicality where it concerns Limbaugh. I just, no. Don't want to go there. Oh, God. I keep seeing the fat man at that CPAC convention with his black disco suit on, open down to here. You know, way too much skin there, Rush. Way too much skin. And blow your collar was pretty bad, too. But you're watching him bouncing up and down and bouncing and bouncing and looking around the room with those little snake eyes, bouncing. He was either looking for some woman to, have a drink with later, or someone to go out on the street and buy him some OxyContin. One of the two. Oh, well, I digress. So, from our economics correspondent, Prairie 2. Remember, go to his website and have at it. Prairie 2, numeral 2, .com. Prairie 2 writes, under the subject line, a better grade of sand. The economy took a big dip in March after a relatively positive report for February. Retail sales dropped sharply, reflecting month after month of crippling job losses. Wholesale prices took an unexpected downturn, which raises fears that deflation is taking a grip on the economy. President Obama gave a long speech on the economy today that demonstrated he's been reading his briefing book, but not that he really understands it. He is focused on bringing the banks back online because he thinks that banks create what he calls a multiplier effect. He's been told that, quote, a dollar of capital in a bank creates $8 or $10 in new lending, end quote. Well, that's true, Mr. President, but only because the Federal Reserve will in turn loan banks 10 to 1 on new money that they, the Federal Reserve, created out of thin air. But that's how we got into this mess. Sad to say, he doesn't get it, or he's not sharing with us the knowledge if he has it. He did say that having 40% of corporate profits coming from trading derivatives and other instruments of no real value was no way to run an economy. He's got that right, but he doesn't seem to realize that corporations began doing this with the blessing of the Federal Reserve as well as the Bush administration. They did this in order to postpone the current Great Depression. For the past year, the Fed, along with Congress and Bush and now Obama, have been propping up everything by creating trillions and trillions of new money. This is unsustainable, and Obama is giving no indication that he understands what to do about this. Obama threw in the Bible verse about not building your house on a pile of sand. That's great, but he isn't offering any actual rocks. He wants to fix the banking system. Rather, the Treasury Department should charter new banks and the Justice Department round up people who ran the old ones. He wants more education so that we can compete better in the world. Ask Ireland how that works. They have the most educated workforce in Europe and have no jobs. All the corporations abandoned Ireland for cheaper labor. He wants health care reform. That's great and would help the economy some, but you can't build an economy on taking each other's temperature. He says we have to save more and borrow less. People have been borrowing because it was Fed policy to have easy credit to offset low wages. Obama says we need to consume less and export more, but that's what really poor third world countries do instead of having their own industrial base. Oh, and they have no middle class. With Wall Street discredited and no plans to increase consumer spending, that means business will have to drive the recovery. But with no export market and no domestic market, how exactly will that work? We're just moving up to a better grade of sand.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
You know, that's kind of scary when you think about it. He's the voice inside your head. I got a lot of lists emailed to me today. A lot of lists, definitional lists, like the definition of Christianity and socialism versus capitalism, and this new website. Have you been there? SaveTheRich.com. but this is Alan sent this to me. 10 reasons against gay marriage. 10 reasons against gay marriage. We're always promoting the idea of, you know, I don't like to call it gay marriage. Marriage is marriage. Whoever added the little qualifier there is, you know, obviously a jerk. Marriage is marriage, but let's go with the jerk thing. Gay marriage. 10 reasons against gay marriage. 1, being gay is not natural. Real Americans always reject unnatural things like eyeglasses, polyester, and air conditioning. 2, gay marriage will encourage people to be gay in the same way that hanging around tall people will make you tall. 3, legalizing gay marriage will open the door to all kinds of crazy behavior. People may even wish to marry their pets because a dog has legal standing and can sign a marriage contract. 4, straight marriage has been around a long time and hasn't changed at all. Women are still property, blacks still can't marry whites, and divorce is still illegal. When was this written? I see. It's a joke. 5, straight marriage would be less meaningful if gay marriage were allowed. The sanctity of Britney Spears' 55-hour just-for-fun marriage would be destroyed. 6, straight marriages are valid because they produce children. Gay couples, infertile couples, and old people shouldn't be allowed to marry because our orphanages aren't full yet and the world needs more children. 7, obviously gay parents will raise gay children since straight parents only raise straight children. 8, gay marriage is not supported by religion. In a theocracy like ours, the values of one religion are imposed on the entire country. That's why we have only one religion in the world. 9, children can never succeed without a male and a female role model at home. That's why we, as a society, expressly forbid single parents to raise children. And 10, gay marriage will change the foundation of society. We can never adapt to new social norms, just like we haven't adapted to cars, the service sector economy, or longer lifespans. From Alan. Thanks, Alan. I think half of that was lost somehow. I don't know. No? A new website launched today to highlight the truth behind the so-called tax day tea parties. The new site is SaveTheRich.com, and it's going to document efforts by the Fox Network and prominent Republican officials and conservative millionaires who are attempting to create the false impression of a grassroots movement through a political tactic known as astroturfing. Yeah, just remember, tomorrow there's going to be an awful lot of people out in these demonstrations, I think, who are demanding more rope with which they can hang themselves. It's an amazing thing to watch. It's astonishing. 99% of the people who attend these tax rallies, if you took them aside and said, what tax increase are you opposing? Which one? They could not answer you because 95% of Americans are due for a tax cut. But facts are impertinent things, and for that reason, Republicans and conservatives tend to stay away from them. The other 5% who will be at the rallies tomorrow will be the wealthy organizers and their pimps, who are also wealthy, herding the terminally stupid, who will show up for these things, into little, you know, crowds of people, so that the speakers up on the stage can rile them up with all sorts of nonsense. It's amazing. We may try to find some in Atlanta. It shouldn't be too hard. And go hang out, Kathy. That'd be fun to listen to. The astroturfing, of course, we talked about this the other night, is that it's a coordinated public relations campaign, usually spearheaded by very large organizations and consultants. And the goal of an astroturf campaign is to disguise the efforts of the political or commercial entity that's putting all this together by orchestrating public activity. The actions are often heavily funded by corporate or political entities that rely on computer databases, phone banking, and hired organizers. But it's grassroots, you see. So far, the telltale signs of astroturfing are everywhere in the so-called Tax Day Tea Party events. Large lobbying organizations and their consultants are quietly organizing behind the scenes. The principal organizers of the local events are actually lobbyist-run think tanks, Americans for Prosperity, Freedom Works, and American Solutions for Winning the Futures, an organization run by former Republican House Speaker Newt Gingrich. There's more. Come back after the break, and I'll share it with you. Trust in God and corporations. They stand for piety that doesn't suffer.
Watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Anyway, SaveTheRich.com. Go to the website. They post a bunch of telltale signs of astroturfing in the so-called grassroots movement to attend tax day tea parties around the country. And again, just keep in mind that the people who are attending this thing, if you have the desire to watch somebody dissolve or tie themselves in knots, go to one of these things and just say, "What taxes are you? Tax increases are you?" Are you demonstrating against? Because as Barack Obama pointed out, the only segment of the population, I don't know what's coming a year from now, neither do any of these right-wing pundits, but the only segment of the population now due for a tax increase are the, what would still be considered the wealthy people, you know, people up in the Neil Bortz, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, earning level. So that's might give you a clue as to why there's so much radio babble from these right-wing sons of bitches to get people out to protest. Sure, if all you have to do to save your income, you know, Russia only makes $50 million a year. Who can live on that, right? So what you do is stir up as much garbage as you can, pump the airwaves full of lies, deception, misinformation, disinformation, and then work hand in glove with the psychopaths at Fox News and get everybody out there and bingo. But go up and ask one of these people, what tax are you protesting? And then stand back and watch the fun. So anyway, large lobbying organizations are behind this. One of the organizations is run by Newt Gingrich. The serial adulterer has no trouble boinking interns in his parked car in the House parking lot while he is raising hell about Bill Clinton almost boinking somebody in the Oval Office. Go figure. Now, Fox News is listed as a sponsor of the events and has aggressively promoted the so-called Tax Day Tea Parties and encouraged its viewers to get involved. According to reports, Fox News provided attendance and organizing information for future protests, such as protest dates, locations, website URLs. Fox News websites also have posted information and publicity material for protests. It goes on and on and on. Rox writes in, what's the meaning behind the word Fox, as in the network news? Does it have to do with 20th Century Fox? Could it mean something like crazy like a fox? Or am I just trying too hard to find a hidden meaning like the walrus? No, it's 20th Century Fox. He bought that and then changed the name of it to News Corp. What else? At the events, which have been held in advance of April 15th, protesters appear to be confused about why they're protesting. This is at SaveTheRich.com, their press release. Protesters appear to be confused about why they are protesting. Why are you here? Boogers. No. Why are you here? Tuna fish. No. Why are you here? Glenn Beck said I should come here and kill something. Oh, okay. Anyway, the protesters appear to be a bit confused about why they're protesting. And according to Save the Rich, despite claims from Fox News and other organizations that the protests are against high taxes, many of the participants are calling for the impeachment of President Obama and raising questions about, oh my God, his place of birth. Other protesters appear to be from myriad far-right causes such as gun rights, secessionists, immigration, and, of course, the ubiquitous, ever-present neo-Nazi groups. Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil. And then finally, elected officials are driving turnout, and as in the case of Senator David Vitter, even sponsoring a bill to honor the protest. At least 12 Republican members of Congress and a handful of governors will be featured prominently at the so-called Tax Day Tea Parties. In one particular instance, Congressman Randy Neugebauer, a Republican from Texas, is actually seen on video holding a conference call instructing Tea Party participants on talking points and messaging. And you can find out more about this at SaveTheRich.com. Oh, my God. It's just stunning to me. You know, there'll be a lot of people at these demonstrations who will be talking about having at least one day out of the year when it's legal to kill immigrants who come up here from Mexico. You'll also have a bunch of people who will be insisting that Lyndon LaRouche was really elected president, but it was stolen from him by Barack Obama. You'll also have people who will be telling you that they are getting messages from the planet circling the star Arcturus, and the messages keep warning them about strange bugs that are about to invade the Earth. And then, of course, those are the Beck people, the Glenn Beck people. And then you will get just your run-of-the-mill crazies who will insist that Rush Limbaugh is right. And when you ask them right about what, you'll get that drooling blank look that is so famous where it concerns Limbots. I think Limbaugh ought to show up at a couple of these. He's the head of the Republican Party. The Republican Party is offering nothing to anybody for anything. It is kind of fun in a perverted sort of way to watch this corrupt organization die, the Republican Party. And as it dies, it is owned and operated. It used to be owned and operated by the Christian right, but they've thrown in the squeegee now. They've had enough. Apparently Jesus got a hold of a couple of these guys and said, look, you keep this up, I'm going to burn your ass forever. I told you, I don't like Pharisees in my church. Now get them out. So it's been turned over to Limbaugh, Joe the plumber, Sarah the impaler, Sarah Palin, and who's the other one? There's four of them who run the party now. I forget the fourth one. It really doesn't matter. When the Republicans do finally reassume control of the United States, Glenn Beck will be named Minister of Defense. And the new government will last, oh, I don't know. How long does it take to launch 9,000 nuclear warheads, which is what Beck wants to do since he is very, very, very disturbed from all the suicides that occurred in his family. That's hard to deal with. You know, alcoholism, multiple suicides, including your mom. Whew, man, that's rough. So Beck is just, you know, babbling crazy, completely out of his mind. And that's the reason he wound up at Fox News. You know, when CNN Headlines hired him, it was like, ho, ho, let's hire Glenn Beck. Ho, ho, this ought to be fun. Ho, ho, ho. Well, after a few months, the folks at Headline News were like, ho, ho, Jesus H. Christ, this isn't fun anymore. Ho, ho, oh my God, this guy is a nutcase. Ho, ho, he's going to cause the entire network to be blown up. Ho, ho, ho. The people in North Korea and Iran are already targeting Headline News headquarters here in Atlanta with their missiles. Ho, oh my God, we got to get rid of this guy. Send him to the dump. And he wound up over at Fox News. What else we got? This is on the horizon. This was in the Guardian of the UK last Friday. And then it kind of sunk out of view, and I think it's because it's not really news anymore. One of Ireland's most senior clergymen admitted yesterday that an imminent report on the sexual abuses of children by Catholic clergy is going to shock that country and reveal that thousands of children in Ireland have been abused, sexually abused, by priests. Now, this came in a homily the Archbishop of Dublin, Reverend Martin, Diarmuid Martin, homily on Holy Thursday last week. He warned that the depth of the abuse, quote, will shock us all, end quote. Well, probably not you, right, Bishop? The report from the Commission on Child Sexual Abuse will be published in May, and according to Martin, it will throw up challenges to the Catholic Church in Ireland that have never before been experienced. Oh, good. Maybe this will bring the whole nasty organization down, huh? At a mass in Dublin's cathedral, Martin said, quote, it is likely that thousands of children or young people across Ireland were abused by priests in the period under investigation, and the horror of that abuse was not recognized for what it is. What? While some priest is buggering a child, he doesn't realize the horror of what he's doing? Oh, give me a goddamn break. The report will make each of us, the Reverend said, and the entire church a humbler church. A humbler church? Is that what generates humility? Buggering little children? Oh, I wonder what Jesus would say about that, Rev. Ah, what do you think? What do you think Jesus would say? Would he say that, oh, my church has now been humbled? Or would he grab all of you rat bastards by your throats, pinch off your heads, and cast you all into hell? I think the latter.
Have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Oh,
time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
So anyway, if you're Catholic or Irish or both, hold on to your ass, because apparently in May, when this report is released, according to the Archbishop of Dublin, the revelation will be that thousands of children, thousands of children were sexually abused by priests. Accusations that the Irish Attorney General's office blocked moves to extradite a priest named Brendan Smythe back in the mid-90s to Northern Ireland led to the Irish Labour Party pulling out of a coalition with the government of Northern Ireland, and the government fell. Anyway, Reverend Martin said on Thursday last week, Holy Thursday, quote, "We have no time to waste. There is a dramatic and growing rift between the church and our younger generations, and the blame does not lie principally with young people," end quote. No, I wouldn't think so, Reb. I think it would lie with the priests who insist on buggering children and making them touch it and stuff like that. Oh, my God. So anyway, prepare yourself for that one, huh? Thousands of Irish children. That would be like hundreds of thousands of American children, given the population differential, right? Unbelievable. This item popped up the other day and then popped down again. It was in the LA Times. By the end of this year, the cost of the Iraq War will surpass the cost of the Vietnam War. Now, you have to think about that for a second. We were in Vietnam, arguably, for anywhere from 9 to 12 years, depending on where you want to start it. You want to start it with Eisenhower. You want to start it with JFK. You want to start it with LBJ. And depending on where you want to end it. Do you want to end it with Ford, with Nixon, with Carter? Where do you want to end it? So, the amount of money, that the U.S. will have spent on the Iraq War is going to surpass the cost of Vietnam by the end of the year. That's according to Pentagon figures provided last Friday. That will make it the second most expensive military conflict in American history, behind only World War II. Whew. Now, the Obama administration has asked for another $87 billion for 2009, including a previous supplement approved during the Bush administration. Now, if you add to the amount spent through 2008, it would mean that the Iraq War will have cost U.S. taxpayers a total of $694 billion. The Vietnam War cost $686 billion. In adjusted dollars, inflation-adjusted dollars. World War II cost $4.1 trillion in inflation-adjusted dollars. Now, think about the Vietnam War vis-a-vis the war in Iraq. We have lost 4,800 American Marines, soldiers, airmen, Navy personnel. In Vietnam, we lost almost 60,000. In Vietnam, we wound up with about 2 million, I believe, wounded. Iraq, I think the wounded is about 150,000. Does that sound right? Maybe not even that high. So, obviously, we are getting much more for our money these days in terms of American lives, right? Only about a 12th, a 13th, a 14th, as many deaths in the Iraq War as in the Vietnam War. I think one of the big differences is that what has driven the cost in the Iraq War has been theft. The theft perpetrated against the military, the American taxpayer, the people of Iraq, by the U.S. contractors, all hired and put in place by Dick Cheney. The contractors who saw a free lunch. They didn't see soldiers being blown up. They didn't see PTSD. They didn't see children back here in the States wailing and crying, probably for the rest of their lives because their father or their mother had been blown up with the roadside bomb. No, the American contractors only saw the money. Blood on the money? They don't give a damn. Why should they? They don't die in wars. Their sons and daughters don't die in wars. To the right wing in this country, it's all a big goddamn joke. That's all it is. A joke. A way to make money and have a good time. And if 4,000 or 5,000 people get killed, well, you know, they weren't important people. The people running the war, the people stealing the money, billions and billions and billions of dollars, they're the important ones. They're all Republicans, they're all sons of bitches, and they all deserve to be tried for the same kind of war crimes, or worse, that the officials in the U.S. government who instigated this event should be tried for war crimes. But when I saw that, I thought, you know, I can't get my mind around it. The Iraq War is the second longest modern war ever fought in with an all-volunteer U.S. force. The longest is Afghanistan. Uh-huh. Afghanistan. Well, nobody really cares about this sort of stuff. If we cared, we would have put a stop to it years ago, or last month, or next week, maybe. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. So yeah, a few days ago, the religious right conceded defeat after a struggle that cost. There's no way of telling how many dead people around the planet because the religious right had such an influence on the Bush crime family and Bill Clinton and. Who else? George Herbert Walker Bush and Ronald Reagan. And when you add up the number of people killed by those four presidents, it's a pretty astonishing number. It would probably be up around 6 or 7 million. Certainly not World War II scope, but, you know, enough to cause a few people to lose sleep at night, perhaps. The religious right conceded that the election of Barack Obama has sealed its defeat in the cultural war because putting Obama in means permissiveness and secularism, you know, which is astonishing. You know, what the hell is Barack Obama supposed to do? I mean, what's he supposed to do? He quotes Jesus. I think Jesus only gave, what, three sermons, if you believe the mythology. Only three. Was it three? I think it was only three. Barack Obama, I believe, has now quoted from two of them. He comes from a cultural milieu that is extremely conservative and religious in this country, i.e. African Americans. As far as his stance on a woman's right to privacy or the decision by the Supreme Court vis-a-vis Roe v. Wade, what Barack Obama does is just simply follow the law. Jesus, God, what a weird idea. A president of the United States, to some degree, following the law. I know. I know. I understand. We're only talking about this law right now. Okay? Okay. Leading evangelicals, it says here, have admitted that their association with George W. Bush has not only hurt the cause of social conservatives, but contributed to the failure of the key objectives of their 30-year struggle. Now, remember James Dobson, this old man who recently resigned as head of Focus on the Family, which is a powerful lobbying group right behind AIPAC, the NRA, and then comes Focus on the Family. This freak once denounced the Harry Potter books as witchcraft. Remember that? Any children who read the Harry Potter books were opening themselves up to demonic forces that could slip in and do a, what was that girl's name in Exorcist, Kathy? Linda Blair. Do a Linda Blair on all these kids. He gave a farewell speech to his staff, and in it he said, quote, "We tried to defend the unborn child, the dignity of the family, but it was only a holding action. We are awash in evil." Maybe you are, you sick son of a bitch. "And the battle is still to be waged. We are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, we can say we have lost all those battles." You're damn right. You know why you lost them, freak? Because you're a freak. That's why, freak. Nobody listens to... I mean, what kind of a message you have? I've listened to Dobson before. I really have. I used to listen to this radio program. And I never heard anything except guilt, 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 guilt. You're going to burn in hell. We're all going to burn in hell. We're going to burn in hell. Did you know we're all going to burn in hell? And that's because of woman who ate of the tree of truth, or the tree of life, whatever the hell it's called. Woman brought all this grief and misery. Woman and those dirty damn Jews and Muslims. And woman, don't forget woman. Because you know what woman wants to do? She wants to get you between her legs and corrupt your mind. Woman will do that to you. Oh, my God. So these freaks pushed the Republicans to the right. Poor Republicans. Can you imagine? They've been told for 30 years to vote against their own interests, economic interests, which they've done religiously, no pun intended, and they will continue to do so. They've been told that they are doomed to burn in hell because we've had a series of presidents, including the last one, who believed that abortion was up to a woman. It doesn't make any difference. Ronald Reagan believed it. Herbert Walker Bush believed it. Clinton believed it. Bush bastard believed it. And so does Obama believe it. I mean, your signature issue, boys, you screwed up. You never did it. Why? Because you are sick sons of bitches, all of you religious right people, and the American public, as blind as we are about most things, could see how evil and stinky you really were. Remember the moral majority that was neither? Remember that group? Now, there is a common distaste, you see, among evangelicals for the new president. Why? Well, he's regarded as at best a diehard pro-abortion liberal. Yes, he is. He's pro-abortion. Ah! And at worst, a Marxist. A Marxist. Oh, my God. He's throwing tons of money at the banking industry to try to save those miserable sons of bitches who ought to be just cut loose, the ones that aren't put on trial. He's doing everything that he possibly can, Obama is, to save, for the second time, capitalism. And these filthy, degenerate idiots call him a Marxist. It's unbelievable. I don't think Dobson or any of these religious right people would know a Marxist if one came up and bit him on the ass. I could introduce them to one, though. His name was Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus the Christ. He was a Marxist, Mr. Dobson. He was a Marxist before the term was even thought of. But you ought to really read your biblical history about what Jesus was all about, what he talked about. Huh? And you will find out that he sounds an awful lot like Fidel Castro. But that would blow your mind, wouldn't it? Oh, my God! It is a failed movement. A failed movement. And I think America will be healthier when, here he goes again, Denis Diderot said, the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest. Then people will be free. We're going to open up the phones for you a little bit earlier tonight. The number here is 877-99-MALLOY. Or if that's too complicated, 877-996-2556, if you would like to get something said. I got this from about six different people, so I'm sure you've done this. You've gone to the Department of Homeland Security website and downloaded this unclassified report assessment on right-wing extremism, subtitled Current Economic and Political Climate Fueling Resurgence in Radicalization and Recruitment. And it was released April 7th. That's when it was written. It was only released, I guess, recently. And as I wrote at my mini blog today at MikeMalloy.com, it just has, I don't know, it has the right wing pigs on radio and television. Just, it's like they all sound like they've all gotten their penises caught in their zippers. You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of noise that you hear sometimes from a men's John, and it's not one where there's any fun going on. It's just, that's what they all sound like today. The ones that aren't screaming and yelping and yelling. And I mean, my God, and I guess so, because they have been found out. They have been found out. This movement in this country to, get guns. And dig deep holes so you can hide from the liberals that are coming to beat your ass is kind of amusing to watch. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Oh, by the way, just for your edification, the Elwin sent this to me. News Corp, the corporation that owns Fox News, the largest shareholder is Rupert Murdoch. He has 317,000 shares. The next largest shareholder is Saudi Prince Al-Waleed, who has 56 million shares of Fox Corp stock. And as Alan writes, I do believe that he is in the same line of Muslims who worked with Hitler against the Jews. Also, just about all of the hijackers on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. Maybe there really is such a thing as Islamofascism, and they fund Fox News. I don't think there's any doubt. Prince Al-Walid is also one of the big funders of the madrasas, the schools in Afghanistan and Pakistan, for young male Muslims that teaches them to scream verses from the Quran rather than get an education. Rupert Murdoch knows that his number two shareholder after him is Saudi Prince Al-Walid bin Talal Abdul Aziz. He knows this. He knows this. So I ask you, truth seekers, why are you right wingers? Why do you watch Fox News? Why do you participate in jumping through hoops that are put out there by a Saudi prince and a psychopath named Rupert Murdoch? Why do you do it? I'm just curious. I don't give a goddamn what your answer is. Don't email me. I'm just curious. Why do you dumb jerks? Why are you going to show up tomorrow for your little teabag parties, not realizing that it's promoted by Prince Al-Walid bin Talal Abdul Aziz and Rupert Murdoch and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity? Are you people out of your goddamn minds? Yes, of course you are. So, just keep that in mind, you little dog-faced freaks, that the number two shareholder of Fox News Corp is a Saudi prince who would like nothing more, if you believe your own BS, than to cut your head off. Because you, you little jerkwad, are an infidel. So you keep watching Fox News. You go ahead. You keep sending your money over to Prince Walid Wawalad, Walad ibn Salawalad. Go ahead. And when the day finally comes where the barricades go up, don't be surprised when a wild band of horse-riding Muslim warriors come galloping down your street, drag you out, and slice your head off. You do understand that, I hope. Right? Huh? Huh? Come on. Come on, you little foxoids. Come on. You don't know? You don't know what's going on? Of course you don't. You know, these right-wingers these days have got to be a collection of the dumbest people ever assembled. And they're all going to be assembled tomorrow for the tea parties. Tea parties. Little tea bag parties. They're going to go teabagging. Teabagging. Oh, yeah. We're teabagging. Woohoo! We're teabagging. Crazy. Crazy. The horror. The horror. You know, that sort of stuff. Barry's listening on KTLK in L.A., actually Redondo Beach, California. Welcome to the program, Barry.
Hey, Mike. I commend you for your courage. You've been fighting this lone war for a long time.
Well, thanks, Barry.
But I've got a comment about us and everybody else calling this a war. It's not a war. It was waged by some stupid people, crazy people, on a sovereign country. There was no reason behind it, and there was no standing army after maybe 10 days.
No, of course not. But the one thing that justified it, the one thing that Iraq had that the Bush crime family wanted was its oil.
Sure.
And that's all. I mean, there is no other reason whatsoever. None. There is no other reason.
I think we should stop calling it war. We should call it something else. I don't know what.
Occupation is a good word.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Illegal occupation. As
oh,
well.
Sure. Oh, sure.
But anyway, I really salute you for your service to the country, not only to the country, but to the humanity.
Well, that's very kind, and I appreciate what you had to say. Barry, thank you. Thank you very much. We got a break here. Stay with us. Oh, and not to dismiss Saddam Hussein as a dictator. Of course he's a dictator. But how do you overthrow a dictator? You don't invade the country. You help build up the middle class in that country, and then they'll do it themselves. But we destroyed Iraq's middle class. We ground it into dust. Now the truth begins again. The truth is not that comfortable, no. That's when I reach for my revolver. That's when it all is
Talk radio right from the left. It's More Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Bloomington, Illinois, listening on XM. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's moving right along.
Good.
Don't leave me with dead air. Hello?
Oh, I didn't know I was on the air, man.
Yes, you are.
Okay, well, great. Well, I'm a new listener, and I've been listening to about everything I can find on the
radio. Oh, the way you said, how's it going? I thought you were an old listener. Hey, Mike, how you going? I'm all right.
Yeah.
Ron, how are you?
Good. Well, I've only been listening a few days, and I'm really curious because I haven't heard this type of radio before. The programming is
the only place you'll hear this is in the Soviet Union.
Why do you say that?
I'm just trying to beat you to it because I figure you're going to say something like that.
No, I'm not against you. I asked the screener. I voted Republican.
Why?
I'm just kind of wondering.
Why did you vote Republican?
Because Obama scares me.
How does he scare you? George Bush didn't scare you? He took us into two wars, destroyed the economy, was a maniac, and had as his vice president a mass murderer,
and an entire
cabinet that had been involved in murder and mayhem in different parts of the world over the past 30 years. And he didn't scare you? Oh my God!
Why does Obama scare you? I'm not defending mistakes. I'm not defending government at all.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. I'm not talking about bad government. I'm talking about George W. Bush was a madman, and yet you tell me that Barack Obama scares you. Let me ask you why,
Mike.
No. Just answer.
I called up.
Ron. Okay, I'll put you on hold. And if you can play nice, I'll let you back in the sandbox. But Ron, you have to understand something. The name of this program is the Mike Malloy Show. It's not the Ron Show. You can go get your own radio program. If you're going to call mine and talk with me, A, have some manners, B, talk nice and don't overtalk me. Now let's try one more time. Okay, you want to try it one more time?
That's my question.
Yeah, go ahead. But I asked you one first. Why did you vote Republican? I mean, no. Why are you afraid of Obama? Quick now.
I was afraid he would have a lot of vendettas.
A lot of what?
Vendettas.
Has he? Who's he gone after?
People with money.
People with money? Jesus Christ, his entire cabinet is full of millionaires. What are you talking about? Who is he gone after? He hasn't gone after anyone, Ron. Oh my God. A Limbaugh Beck listener. Oh, Ron, you poor thing.
Be nice, Mike.
No, I am. I'm being very sympathetic, as a matter of fact. I feel for you. If you think Obama has gone after who now? People with money.
I was afraid of Obama because I felt like he would go after people with money. Do you
have a lot of money?
No, I don't.
Well, then why are you afraid?
Well, no, I was afraid he had vendetta. Okay.
No, you already said that. Vendetta's against people with money. Do you have money?
Right.
No. Well, then why do you care? Who do you know that has a lot of money that might get mad at Ron if Barack Obama had vendettas?
People in business and people.
What people in business? He's trying to save businesses, for Christ's sake. Don't you understand what he's doing? He's giving a tax cut to you.
Mike, it's not obvious with GM and stuff.
What? GM?
With the plant?
What the hell do you care about GM? I mean, stop it. Ron, stop it. You're driving me crazy. You're driving me insane. You're making me snot all over my microphone here. You gotta quit. You gotta stop, Ron. You got to. Barack Obama came into office, as somebody who, believe it or not, wanted to fix things. Now, what he's done so far is made a valiant effort at fixing everything that your Republicans have destroyed. He's trying. On the other hand, he's maintaining some of the most egregious parts of the Republican administrations, like spying on you, Ron. God damn. But as far as taxes are concerned, Ron, he's trying to give you a tax cut. He's trying to give your family a tax cut. He's trying to tax cut 95% of Americans. Who has to pay more? Oh, Christ. Why do I go through this? People who make over, what is it, $300,000, $250,000? Look, Ron, Sarah Palin, John McCain, Joe the plumber humper, or whatever the hell he was, and all these right, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, have eaten your brain. Do you not understand that? And the sad part is you sound like you're probably a pretty nice guy who just wants to get through this life and make it on to the next. Right? Of course, there is no next. This is it, pal. But, I mean, you sound like a normal person who has had your brains completely hanitized. Have you heard that term before? Or Beckettized or Limbaughized to the point where you cannot think for yourself anymore. Oh, my God. How could you possibly believe that you should be afraid of Barack Obama? Wait a minute. What's this? Paul is calling from Cold Spring Harbor. Do you know Billy Joel?
Personally, no, but I know that he had an album called Cold Spring Harbor.
Yeah, I think it was his first big one. Yeah. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Well, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
I think I can help Ron out because I didn't partake of any drugs this evening.
Okay.
But, I would say that the reason that people are fearful of Barack Obama is for a number of reasons. Number one is they perceive him to be an agent of change, and change they don't like. For instance, redistributive economics. And most people who will be harmed by the Obama tax plan are not the very, very ultra-uber wealthy. Those people have all kinds of tax considerations and breaks. It's the people who are in the top. The top 10%, the top 1.1% always has some kind of break.
Uh-huh.
It's the next 9.9% that will get hammered and hosed. The guy who makes $350,000, he will get hosed.
Well, no, wait. The tax rate. Wait. The guy who makes $300,000 will be paying under the Obama plan 10% less than what he would have had to have paid under Ronald Reagan. Now, how is that being hosed?
Reagan lowered the tax rate from 70% to 28%.
No, wait.
Obama's raising it from 35% to 39.6%.
No, wait a second. Are you trying to tell me, now let me make sure I got this right, you're trying to tell me that the top personal income tax rate in 1980 was 70%?
Yes.
No. Absolutely not true. Where did you get that, Paul?
And then when they came up with the EGTRA, and
the what?
28%. That's the name. That's the.
Are you telling me that when Carter was in office and went to Reagan, that the top tax rate for personal income tax was 70%?
Yep.
And when you figure in everything else, then, you know, state tax, FICA, Social Security, all that kind of stuff, then a person who fell into that tax group was being, having all of his or her income confiscated, right?
Because back then, wiping your behind was deductible. Reagan simplified the tax code and took away a lot of the deductions.
Oh, God.
So all of a sudden, things became non-deductible.
So that, and that's a good thing.
Don't you think simplification would be good? I'd like to have a simpler tax code.
Well, yeah, except that the rich people don't play. Rich people, like you just said when you started your phone call, they always figure out a way to game the system.
Can I ask you a question? Don't pay taxes?
What?
You think that the rich don't pay taxes?
I know the rich don't pay taxes. What are you kidding me?
How come 1% of the population pays over 35% of the taxes?
1% of the population should be paying 110%. And where do you get that number from?
The federal government.
Ah.
1% makes 22% of the income, and they pay about 37% of the taxes.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay. I don't know. I can't dispute what you're saying. If you're talking about the people that make over $50 million a year... Or are you talking about, well, I mean, who are you talking about?
The top 1% cuts off at about 370,000. The top maybe 1/100 of a percent makes over 10 million a year, but the top 1%.
Okay, but now wait, Do you figure into any of these groups that you are defending?
I'm in the top 2%, not the top 1%.
In other words, you make about what? A couple mil a year?
No. Top 1% is 370. I don't quite make that. I'm a little below that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I can understand then your argument. I really can. You're trying to save your own ass, and that's admirable. Listen, I got to move on. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You'd sell your kids into slavery if it was worth a dime. You'd bulldoze your own backyard, then you'd come for mine. You're a nation of sheep, led by a handful of pigs. You're a nation of sheep.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
Ten before the hour. During the break, I went to the Heritage Foundation website. And was that Paul? Was that guy's name Paul? Is that who it was? Here's what it says. The Heritage Foundation now, not exactly your Marxist, communist, left-wing website.
His name was Ron, but... Ron Paul. I would understand why you'd make the mistake.
Well, the Reagan tax cuts. Here's what the Heritage Foundation says. The share of income taxes paid by the top 10% of earners jumped significantly. This is in the Reagan years. Climbing from 48% in 1981 to 57.2% in 1988. Now, that's the year, of course, that Reagan left office. The top 1% saw their share of the income tax bill climb even more dramatically from 17.6% in 1981 to 27.5% in 1988. Now, again, those numbers are from the Heritage Foundation's website, so either my caller doesn't know what he's talking about, or the Heritage Foundation's website is got all wrong numbers on it. Can't be both. In 1981. To 57.2% in 1988. And Barack Obama wants to make the top income tax rate 39%. Ooh! Oh, no! Oh, no! Really? 39%? Oh, saints preserve us! Jesus, God in heaven, we can't have that! From 36% to 39%? Ah! 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 No! No! Oh, where's my tea bags? Let me go wave my tea bags. Ah! 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 I'm so goddamn sick of right-wing tax whiners, I could throw up blood. You know what I'm saying? Stop your bitching. Pay your fair share. The reason the tax rate for wealthy people is 39% is because you people make most of the money. You're goddamn right. You should pay more. But you're the type that want that flat tax, that Neil Bortz thing, right? I want that flat tax. Yeah, I'm such a greedy pig son of a bitch. I want the flat tax. I want to pay 15%. I make $375,000 a year, and I want to pay 15%, just like some poor son of a bitch that works at McDonald's would pay 15%. Now that's fair. You miserable, greedy people. You right-wingers, you teabagging freaks, you miserable, greedy sons of bitches, you really are. Shame on you. Shame on you. It's not that you have a problem with 39% upper limit tax rate. You don't want to pay anything. And you know why? Because you're masters of the universe. You're the upper 2%. Why should you do anything? Let the other 98% do it for you, right? Potholes in your roads, God damn it, we'll get out and fix them for you, massa. Yes, we will. What's the matter? Huh? You whiny people, you whiny crybaby right-wing brats. I can't think of any. I mean, it's thumb-sucking time, teabagging, thumb-sucking. Oh, my God. 39% for people to make over what? What? 5 million? 350,000? 30 million? What the hell? Why should you people have to pay anything? Let us working stiffs pay it off for you. It's not the 39%. These whiny ass upper 2%. You don't want to pay anything. Nothing. Why should you pay anything, right?
That's goddamn socialism, you know. Let's have private contractors run the bridges and the dams and the schools and the fire department, the police department and the water department and this department and that department. Yeah! Let's do the libertarian thing here. Yeah!
Jesus. God, I get sick of them. I really do. These people that call this program or send me the emails and, you know, they start out sounding so rational.
Well, I'll tell you why your last caller is afraid of Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama wants to go from 36 to 39%, the upper limit in the income tax. And, oh, my Jesus H. Christ, we'll all die if that happens. We will all fall over, boom, and die. And we won't be able to breathe or go to the toilet or anything if Barack Obama does that. That's awful. That's all go teabag. Teabag, teabag.
They don't know what to protest.
Sorry, sons of bitches. You don't have any idea what you're protesting. You really don't. You really don't. But you'll be out there. You'll be out there. You people are making 45 grand a year, 50 grand a year. I'll tell you what, when those tax incentives come and the refunds and the tax cut comes because of your income bracket, give it back, okay? Give it back, you whiny asses. Give it back. You don't want it. You don't want any of this socialism. So give it back. You know, when you get the money, you get the check in the mail, give it back. When you find out your taxes have been cut, call up the IRS and say, no, goddammit, I want my tax rate back where it was. You do that, okay? And you tell that IRS people, you say, I want my tax rate back where it was, because you know why? Barack Obama scares me. Oh, my God, he scares the hell out of me. Woo, woo. I'm just scared. Save me, IRS. Save me. Make me, don't make me take this tax cut. Don't make me take this incentive check. Jesus, what am I going to do with it? Oh, my God. Save me. Help me, Jesus. Oh, oh, I don't want this. I don't want any money. Oh, blah, blah. I don't know how much more of this I can stand. But we'll try to come back after the break. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. You know, the subject of taxes is like death. All right, let's hear from Prairie 2, our economics correspondent. The top 10% do pay 2/3 of the individual income taxes collected, but they have 90% of the income. The top 400 income earners who measure their annual income in billions pay an average of 17% and no FICA tax, of course. Reagan doubled Social Security taxes and excise taxes that you don't even see. States doubled and even tripled state sales taxes from cuts to federal aid to states and corporate tax breaks given by states desperate to attract jobs under Reaganomics. The middle class had their taxes more than doubled during Reagan, and the working poor have been screwed right to the ground. And these freaks are out there waving tea bags because of Obama? Give me a break. Oh, my God. All right, Rob is calling from Mount Iron, Minnesota, listening on Sirius. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Mike. It's Weir. A long time no talk. It's Weir. Nice to be able to talk to you again. I just wanted to point out to you one thing that you missed out on. Saudi Arabia has just bought a $360 million airplane while most of their people are impoverished. And you forgot to be able to talk about the A360.
Yeah.
And it's where, you know, I mean, the one thing about the Republicans or cons, what is it about fear? You know, they lower the taxes, get less jobs, which increases fear. Then they want to lower taxes. What, you know, I mean, we're on a slope down to nowhere, you know?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's a circle jerk, you know? I mean, when you read some right down to it, these people are living off of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and all these other people out there. And when you really come right down to it, they're living off of something that is completely unreal as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it is unreal. And again, I would like somebody, but I'm afraid of getting a fist fight, go up to one of these teabaggers tomorrow and say, exactly what tax increase are you protesting with your teabag? And then just stand there and watch them, you know, start holding their breath and turning blue and going into convulsions, because there is, A, they won't know, and B, if they do know what tax they're protesting and they're not in that top 2% income bracket, then all of a sudden they're going to realize, oh my God, I am protesting on behalf of the super wealthy who don't care if I live or die, while I'm down here unemployed and have no reason to live anymore.
Yeah, but the only thing is they're living off of fear.
I benefit
You know, fear of what? You know, I mean, the people that are telling them what to be afraid of are full of crap because they're making all the money.
Well, that's true. And the other thing, too, the people who desperately need the tax cut are going to get the tax cut. And they are the same people who have had their brains sucked out and replaced with sawdust by half-witted jackasses like Bortz and Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of them. And this is the part that never fails to amaze me. And that is that the people protesting tomorrow will be people who have money coming from the Barack Obama administration. And yet they're out here in the streets acting like a bunch of goddamn fools on behalf of the super wealthy.
The basic peasant. I got to ask another quick question, Mike.
Sure.
It's where I don't have an iPod. I don't have a computer. I only listen to you on Sirius. I donated to Nova. Is there some way, you know, I mean, that I could be able to take and help you out as far as keeping you on the air?
Well, I'm not sure. Let me put you on hold, and Kathy will pick up, and tell you. Oh, wait a minute. You want to tell them now? Go ahead.
Because there may be other truth seekers out there with similar questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, and thanks for the offer so much, but if you don't need a podcast very soon, and I mean like this week, you're going to be able to get a gift subscription podcast so you can give the gift of Malloy to a truth seeker who needs a little truth in their life and maybe otherwise couldn't afford it. Or you may be able to buy some Malloy merchandise, which is also coming out later this week or early next week. Baseball hats, T-shirts, that kind of stuff. So,
you know, any way I can help you out, because I've listened to you for like 4 or 5 years, and I caught you in Madison one time. I was just passing through, and it was one of those things where I've been listening to you since then. And let me tell you, you know, it's where you talk about truth seekers. It's where it's only common sense, and you have a lot of it.
Oh well, thanks. Oh God, that caught me by surprise. Thanks, Rob. All right, man. Wait a minute. How's he going to know if he doesn't have a computer? How does he go to our website?
Oh, you don't have a computer?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Well, you know, I mean, I just wanted to be able to take and help you out if I can, because I mean, it's where.
Well, here's what you could do. Go to your local library and just log on to MikeMalloy.com.
Okay.
And wait until next week and do that, and you'll see. You can get somebody a gift subscription, or you can buy a really cool T-shirt that has a hammer and sickle on it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, the whole thing is where I know exactly what you mean. It's where, you know, it's just a matter of letting other people out there know, just like me, where we'd like to be able to help you out in some way, you know?
Well, thanks. And I do appreciate it, Rob. Thank you very much. Take care. And don't wait so long to call back. Thanks, Rob. Tim writes in, Mike, why is it the people love it when Robin Hood steals from the rich and gives to the poor? Yet as soon as boys in the hood steal from the rich, the poor fools cry out, I'll take my tax cut. Thanks, Barack Obama. I'm not sure what you said, Tim, but it sounds good. It sounds cool. Oh, man. Back to your phone calls. Who's next here? Sean is calling from Saddlebrook, New Jersey, listening on Sirius. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. First, let me say, love your show. You've opened up my mind a great deal the last 2 years listening to you.
Uh-oh. Well, good. Good. I'm glad, you know.
A quick thing, the tax cuts and everything, our country's greatest growth, we had the highest taxes during that time for the top tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
From Truman to JFK, it averaged between 88% to 92%. And of course, we all know how our country grew at that time.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
The top tax bracket. Anything, basically, it would be anything over $3 million.
Yeah.
Dollars and things like that.
Right.
Was
under who?
It averaged between 88% to 92%.
And that was during what years?
From Truman.
Oh.
From Truman
to Kennedy.
To JFK.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And there's a blog, the Smirking Chimp.
Yeah, I'm real familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah, he had an article about this. It's called The Tax Cuts, the BS, and the Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly pointed out everything. Every time we had a tax cut for the richest people in this country, we had a bubble, a burst, and a crash mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah. Well, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
In fact, before the Depression in the 1929, we had three conservative Republican administrations, of which the top tax bracket preceding the Depression was mm-hmm. 5%.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you checking in, pal. I'm just tired of the whiners. I really am. These prissy little whiners who want somebody else to pay their way. I'm sick of it, you know, and they all turn out to be so-called conservatives on a pig's butt. You guys are just whiners.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
21 past the hour. You know, I'm getting a lot of emails on this topic. I normally stay away from the tax issues because I'm pretty set in my attitude about it. I've been on both sides of that fence. I've had periods in my life where I wound up with tax liabilities to IRS and fought like a son of a bitch to try to get them relieved. Business losses, before I ever got into talk radio. And, on the other hand, you know, I've never missed filing a tax return and eventually always paid what I owed. What I fought was taxes. I mean, interest and penalties. You know how these predatory sons of bitches are. But here's my take on taxes. It is the price of admission. You know, I hear these teabaggers, these right-wing freaks and fools who just want a free ride. They're like people that go to Disneyland and just want to get to the head of the line. They don't want to buy a ticket. Don't want to deal with hoi polloi. You know, the rest of us sweaty masses down here. They just somehow figure that they should be exempt from paying the freight that goes along with living in this country. They're normally people who have never served their country in any manner. I'm not just talking about the military. I'm talking about in any way. They have never served their country. Every time they paid their taxes, they bitch and complain and moan and whine and scream and talk about the unfairness of it all. And, you know, I like to say to them the same thing that I've heard so many right-wingers say. You know, to your whiners, if you don't like it here, go someplace else. Get the hell out of town. You know, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? If you want a better break on your taxes, then make sure that you put people in office, whether it's the House or the Senate or the presidency, that will not spend $1 trillion on a goddamn war for no reason. If you want a break on your taxes, then figure out a way to make sure that the people who represent the Americans in the House and the Senate aren't stuffing money back home in their home districts so they can get reelected again. You know, don't come whining about. I remember Reagan's big thing about the welfare queen. Remember that? Yeah, a woman in a Cadillac who takes her food stamps and buys porterhouse steaks. Remember that horse hockey? I just figure, look, if you don't want to pay your taxes, then get the hell out of town. Go away. Go away, you whining sons of bitches. That's why this teabagging thing is just so irritating to me. What do these people want? 95% of the people that are going to be at these teabagging events tomorrow are people who are going to get a tax cut. But even if that weren't the case, if they weren't going to get anything. So what are you bitching about? You little crybabies. I mean, what is it? Are you so stressed out because the economy's tanked because of tax policies by these goddamn filthy Republicans, and you want more of the same? You want more of the same. You listen to them talk about cutting spending, government spending. What do you want them to cut, Mr. Right-Winger? Do you want them to cut the Social Security that your mother draws? Do you want them to cut the SSI that your the goofy cousin draws? What do you want them to cut? Do you want them to cut the Medicare that your Aunt Harriet uses to pay her medical bills? Is that what you want? What do you want them to cut? You want them to cut taxes that go for roads? What do you want to drive on? You want to drive on potholes, or you want to turn the roads over to some Saudi company that will come over and, oh, yeah, they'll pave the goddamn things, and then you'll pay $10 a mile to ride on them. What do you whiners want? What do you want? I've never seen such a bunch of spoiled little pissants who just sit around and whine and whine and whine because they're expected to pay the freight to run the country. If you don't want to pay the freight to run the country, get out! Get it, go away! Jesus God, you want all the benefits of a jiggered free enterprise system. You want all the benefits, but you don't want to pay any of the freight. And every one of you people that are up around the $1 million, $2 million income level, you cheat, you lie, you sneak, you hide your money offshore, you bend over backwards to deny your fellow countrymen any kind of help at all to run this goddamn place, and you do it repeatedly while at the same time you whine and pee your pants about you have to pay the price of admission. You people turn my stomach. Man. So tomorrow we'll have the treat of hearing about people who are going to get out there and make total asses of themselves, and the media will help you along. The cameras will be there. It'll be all over CNN and Fox and MSNBC about the big tax protest, and you dumb bastards won't even have a clue as to what you're protesting. Not a clue. Not a clue. Teabaggers. God. I've never seen a bigger bunch of babies in my life. Take your tax refund money and go buy some guns, because you know what? The liberals are coming to get you.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's More Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. And regarding all these crazy people on right-wing media, they're screaming about cut the budget, cut the budget, cut the budget, which just from a philosophical point of view is ridiculous when the country is tanking. That's not when you cut the budget. That's when you increase the budget. That's when you spend like a son of a bitch to try to get ourselves out of this. But anyway, regarding that, cutting the budget, Prairie 2 writes, if you cut absolutely everything in the federal budget that could be remotely considered welfare, it wouldn't come to $200 billion. The interest on the current debt is rapidly approaching $600 billion. Then there's the small matter of the deficits Bush was running that reached $1.25 trillion per year. What exactly do they think they can cut? Even if you cut all defense and war spending, everything, defend the country with sticks, the Bush budget this year would have still been in the red. Well, yeah. And Michael in New Mexico writes about the taxes. Under Reagan, beginning in 1981, corporations got huge tax breaks, which they still generally enjoy, including subsidies and credits. In the 50s, corporate share of total federal revenues varied from 28 to 34%. Now it's about 6%. I give it five more years and there will be a net outflow from Treasury to corporations. These tax cuts for corporations generated huge amounts of wealth for the already very wealthy, which is why the total taxes paid by the wealthy went up during the Reagan years, because they were making much, much more money. Because they had a lot of excess income, they put it into lobbying shops, right-wing foundations, speakers' bureaus, in order to get their message out. And that's why we have the sort of media we have today. Higher taxes on the rich will mean less income that they can spend on distorting the truth and garnering the support of the mouth breathers that have become their political base. Michael and Roswell. And those same mouth breathers are going to be the ones who will be out there clamoring on the village greens tomorrow for something that they don't even understand. And if it were given to them, it would drive them further into their pockets of poverty. That's the thing that just, I don't know. At Smirking Chimp, that was mentioned tonight. Andre sent me a couple of sentences here written by Max Taibbi, who's a great writer. Matt Taibbi. Matt writes, it's been strange and kind of depressing to watch the conservative drift in this direction of tax stuff. In a way, actually, the Glenn Beck Show has been drearily fascinating of late. It's not often that we get to watch someone go insane on national television, trapped in an echo chamber of his own spiraling egomania, with apparently no one at his network willing to pull the plug and put him out of his misery. Beck has lately gone from being a mildly annoying media dingbat to a self-imagined messiah who looks like he's shouldering more and more of the burdens of Christ with each passing day. And because he's stepping into a vacuum of conservative leadership, there's no one else out there who's offering real red meat to the winger crowd, he's begun to attract not professional help, but apostles in the form of Chuck Norris, who believes we have to prepare for armed revolution and may himself prepare a run for president of Texas, and pinhead Midwestern Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, a woman who is looking more and more like George Foreman to Sarah Palin's Joe Frazier in the heavyweight championship of stupid. Yeah, Max Taibbi is an excellent writer. Joyce is driving in New Mexico and listening on Sirius. Joyce, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you, Michael. Mike, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm calling because I want to comment on the very first caller that you had for the evening when he said that he didn't vote for Obama for the simple fact that he was scared because he thought that Obama was going to, what word did he use? Not so much retaliate, but...
What was the word he, a vendetta?
Yeah, get revenge.
Or no, not, it wasn't vendetta. What was the word he used?
He said revenge. I think it was revenge.
Revenge? Okay.
Okay, now, instead of him flat out saying, oh, I didn't vote for him because he's black, and, you know, I'm afraid that he might decide to take the white man and make them slaves, he used something else.
Do you think that?
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. You think that caller is afraid of Obama because he's black?
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of Obama because he's black. We listen to your show every night. We love you and Kathy.
Thank you.
We hear you up. We hear you, and it's like we hear some of your callers, and you get those right wingers calling, and it's like they're afraid of Obama because he's black, or they make the assumption that he's Muslim. You know, and it's we've come so far as a people, but yet we still have so much further to go.
Well, that's true, and we do have hardcore. Thank God for this younger generation that seems to take the idea of race as like ho hum. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
It's the people over 45 or over 40, and the ones who are come from families that are just absolutely uneducated. I'm talking about white people that still have this big fear because of people of different races. And it's astonishing to me. That's why I say I am so glad for the younger generation, because they look at race as, like nothing. I mean, okay, so you're this and you're that and I'm here and you're
right,
there.
Right.
And, you know, and I think the younger people look at it like, if we don't drop some of the nonsense, like what's your political philosophy, what's your racial belief, or makeup, and start to work on some real problems, we're doomed.
Right.
We're
exactly.
all doomed. Plus the
exactly.
fact, have you ever noticed something? Have you ever noticed, Joyce, that some of the children that come from so-called mixed marriages are gorgeous?
Yeah. Yes, yes. But there's beautiful white babies out there. There's beautiful black babies out there. There's
oh, sure.
of beautiful babies in every race.
That's very true.
And I'm here to say this. I'm a black woman born here in America. I'm a lesbian. I'm proud of it. And I'm here to say I'm not going anywhere. People don't deal with it.
You're cracking me up. All right. Thanks, Joyce. Drive
Thank
safely.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night. Drive safe. You ever notice that? Huh? Children, you'll see, this happens to me all the time. You know, I'll be in the mall, or I'll be at the grocery store. I'll see a couple, you know, one black, one white. And I don't know, you know, what else their racial makeup is. They might be part Chinese. I have no idea, but they look like one black and one white. And they've got a baby in the grocery basket up there in a little carrier thing. And you walk by and you look at that baby and it's just like, oh, my God, just so pretty, so beautiful. Yeah, you know, she's right. There's beautiful black children, beautiful white children, beautiful this children, beautiful that. But there's something about that. And I'm telling you, you know, the mom and daddy can be not all that, you know, nice looking, you know, I mean, just, but the children are still just gorgeous, beautiful kids. Is this our old buddy Joe? Joe's calling from Bremerton, Washington. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, this is not Joe from, who is that guy, Kathy? Joe from?
Yeah, you probably know me better as Foxhole Atheist.
Oh, Foxhole Atheist. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Everybody's beating up on the taxes tonight, and I've actually done some research because I'm in an economics course right now.
Yeah.
And the only thing I wanted to point out, really, is that in any time of war, which we're currently in two, obviously, tax, the top bracket is 70 to 90% traditionally, and right now it's 35%.
Right, right. Yeah, and
there, obviously.
Yeah, and they're whining about, because Obama wants to raise it up to 39 for the real heavy money bags types, and the people doing the most bitching are not the real wealthy. It's those people who would bitch about anything that smacks of equality or fairness or justice. They just figure that they're entitled to be up there with the people who cheat and lie and sneak and steal, and they're pissed off because they're not there. That's my take, man. I believe that.
Right. And I got a right-winger economics professor, and he's insane, actually. He's teaching laissez-faire economics as if it's the only kind.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm dead serious, honey.
Why don't people in your class kind of take him out in the hall and say, yo, let me look around at the rubble, and maybe you can add 1 + 1 = 2. Oh, my God.
Well, he cites Fox News for his economics.
Ah, okay.
Too.
Well, there you go. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen. I spoke at an atheist convention, National Atheist Convention, here in Atlanta last weekend, and one of the tables, you know, where they have all the exhibits, one of the exhibits was Foxhole Atheist.
What?
Yeah, they had this stuff out there that said Foxhole Atheist, and I said, you know, I'm stupid me. I walked by and said, hey, you know, one of your guys calls me every so often. And the guy looked at me and said, huh?
I didn't know. I don't know if I stole that name.
Yeah,
there's
an organization, foxholeatheist.com, I guess. Hey, Joe, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Joe, take care. We'll be right back. Stay with us. 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew tonight, Kathy Bay, Ben Burke, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg. All of it coordinated and produced by Kathy Bay. As always. Kevin is calling from Galesburg, Illinois, listening on XM. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How you doing?
All right. I wanted to say something about the teabagging tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, during the Bush administration, if anybody even thought about going against Bush or going against the war or protesting or, you know, Cindy Sheehan protesting the war, mm-hmm. they would instantly be labeled by the right as unpatriotic or war criminals or treasonous.
Sure.
But now that the tables have turned, they are acting so hypocritical. They are promoting people to go against their government now. What they said just maybe a couple of years ago was unpatriotic. Now they're promoting.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's not a surprise. It really isn't, because Republicans or conservatives, what's left of Republicans, they're totally screwed. They're morons. Well, they are. The party is ending. The Republican Party is over. And the corpse is starting to smell. And, they soon will cease to exist. And in the meantime.
As long as they lose the middle, they're never going to make a comeback, because they need the middle, the moderates, to make a comeback. And they have moved so far to the right.
Well, that's true.
I don't think they'll make a comeback for a while.
Well, I don't either. And plus the fact, and thanks, Kevin, we're about out of time here. Plus the fact that Republicans have nothing. They bitch and whine and send out John Boehner to stand there with his, the tanning booth tan to, try to refute Obama. Meanwhile, Obama has, regardless of what his policies are, for just a second, never regardless of what a president's policies are, but the American people look at him as somebody who really is trying to turn around the disaster that 15 years of Republican ownership of everything has done. And as long as the Republicans have, fossils like Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey, and punks like Hannity and Beck and Bortz, well, Bortz is a fossil, and the rest of these jerks, Sarah Palin and Joe the Plumber, how much proof does anyone need that the Republican Party is over? It's finished. It's done. How many of you know Lawrence Ferlinghetti? Well, good. I'm glad. Who sent this to me? I don't know who sent this to me, because they didn't sign their name. Oh, well. A year or two ago on Democracy Now!, Ferlinghetti was on, and you can see it on YouTube. He wrote a poem called Pity the Nation. And Ferlinghetti must be in his late 80s now. I met him in Boulder some time ago, Boulder, Colorado, and it was just a mind-altering experience. But here it is. Pity the nation whose people are sheep and whose shepherds mislead them. Pity the nation whose leaders are liars, whose sages are silenced, whose bigots haunt the airwaves. Pity the nation that raises not its voice except to praise conquerors and acclaim the bully as hero, and aims to rule the world with force and by torture. Pity the nation that knows no other language but its own and no other culture but its own. Pity the nation whose breath is money and sleeps the sleep of the too well-fed. Pity the nation, oh, pity the people, who allow their rights to erode and their freedoms to be wasted and washed away. My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty. I like that. Lawrence Ferlinghetti was always the type of poet that, hey, man, I could understand. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't all that obtuse, stuff. No. I like some of that, too. But Ferlinghetti was, or is, why am I saying was? Great poet. Great poet. I guess he's the last one standing. Michael McClure may still be around, but Ferlinghetti is the last one standing, isn't he? The whole Beat generation. They're all gone. All of them. Who's left? Anybody know? Well, as long as there's a City Lights bookstore in San Francisco, there's hope, I guess, right? There's hope. That's about it for tonight. I will be very curious to see how this 30-ring circus goes tomorrow. this teabagging thing. Oh, my God. I will guarantee you to be all over Fox all day tomorrow. So if you can stomach Fox Channel, you know, hold your breath and tighten your sphincter muscle and watch it, I guess. Because since Fox, the channel that is the second biggest owner, is a Saudi prince, and will do anything to destroy America because, you know, we support the Israelis, so we have to be destroyed. You know, they tried once by blowing up New York City, the Saudis did, but didn't quite work. So, you know, maybe they can do it by dumbing down the entire country with Fox News, you think? Oh, Lord have mercy. It gets harder and harder to tell the players apart, doesn't it? I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Seriously now, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.